We're speaking with Jane Williams, head of the National Sierra Club Clean Air Team. And she is going to be a panelist at the upcoming Norlite Town Hall. Jane, can you give us a preview of, you know, what your role in this town hall is going to be?
I have been asked to talk specifically about Norlite and its checkered compliance history, shall we say, with the Clean Air Act. The facility, I can't tell from all the documents I have in front of me if the facility is in compliance with the act today, but for millions of hours over the last decade, the facility has been in non-compliance with the federal NESHAPs, which are, these are the rules. Basically, it's Clean Air Act permit, but there's a specific set of rules that govern its emissions of air toxics. And the violations of its permit are extremely concerning from a public health perspective, because the kinds of violations that they have had would definitely increase some of the absolutely most toxic hazardous air pollutants that are, we are always trying to control from these kinds of hazardous waste incineration facilities. And so I've done an extensive review of their permits and the notices of violation and consent decrees and inspection reports. And I think that's what I've been asked to cover at the town hall meeting.
So, you know, listeners are going to hear more about this at the town hall on June 23rd. But for, you know, these documents are pretty dense. And for our listeners who haven't read them, or haven't heard of these violations, could you describe, you know, some that are, in your opinion, the most egregious?
Let me just give you one example, okay? One of the operating parameter limits, which is like a, think of it like, you know, when you're driving a car, you have a speed limit. The way that these permits work is that they have these operating parameter limits, and they're set to minimize air pollution. And this hazardous waste incinerator has a number of different control technologies on it, scrubbers and bag houses and different ways in which they're reducing their emissions. And one of them is to control the exit temperature of the stack gases. And that's a very important speed limit for the facility, because if the exit temperatures are too hot, then you get a lot of dioxin emissions. And dioxin is by far the most toxic air toxic that we control under the auspices of the Clean Air Act. And this facility has violated its exit gas temperatures over a million hours just in 2 years, and was fined for that. A very tiny amount of money, by the way, but it was found in violation. So there's a number of different problems with the way in which the incinerators are operated that I will talk about at the town hall meeting. The violations of the exit gas temperature is one. Another one, to give you an example, is that there's two kilns there. There's two incinerators there. One of them had not had its stack test. And the stack test is required every so many years, every 5 years, I believe. And they had basically just used the data from the other incinerator and claimed that they did not have to test both of them. So that's another major. So these are pretty substantial violations. And these violations contribute to excess emissions of very significantly damaging air toxics emissions.
Can you give our listeners, you know, some of your background with environmental law and tell us, you know, how often do you see violations and behavior from a polluter like this?
So So yes, I chair the Sierra Club's National Clean Air Team, and I have worked on air toxics emissions from these larger stationary sources of air pollution now for almost three decades. And I live in California. We are a highly industrialized state. We have, you know, thousands of these, what I call smokestack sources, right? And so I have looked at, you know, how refineries work, how chemical manufacturing facilities are complying with their air permits, you know, and as well as smaller facilities like chrome platers and, you know, auto detailing facilities. And I have worked, there's 200 major, around 200, just about 200 major stationary source categories that have NESHAP standards, the National Emission Standards for Hazardous Air Pollutants. And I've worked on all of those over my career. So I'm very familiar with the standard setting process and then compliance with those standard setting processes. And the mystery to me here on the Norlack facility is, how can it be that the state of New York has an on-site monitor and the violations of the act could be so egregious? And my understanding is that the on-site monitor was placed there by the state of New York because in the previous decade, the facility had major instances of noncompliance as well. So this is what this facility would be what I would call a serial non-complier. And when you have a serial non-complier that's burning hazardous waste, that's really risky. It's really, really risky.
Surprisingly, just over a month ago, the Department of Defense canceled its contract with Norlite to burn the AFFF, but there are three other incinerators, two in Arkansas and one in Ohio. Do you know if they are still accepting AFFF from the DOD?
The company, the one company that had a contract, Tradebe, it could not find any place for the AFFF that it had taken and it had contracted with to burn it. And so it requested that the DOD let it out of its contract, and it did about a month ago. So Tradebe no longer has the contract, and Tradebe is actually the owner of Norlite. So Heritage, which is another company, it has the only remaining contract to burn AFFF, and it owns the WTI facility in East Liverpool, Ohio. And so I don't know. DOD hasn't responded to our latest information request to tell us if it's still shipping materials to WTI to burn or not.
And obviously there's some organizing going on here in the Capital Region around Norlite. We're having a town hall on Thursday. Is there organizing efforts around these other incinerators from the communities?
Yes, actually there's a lot of organizing and a lot of activity at the WTI incinerator in Ohio. There's a group there, it's called Save Our County, that's very concerned and has been very concerned about the emissions of the incinerator. And then there's a group in Sauget, Illinois. There's an incinerator there owned by Veolia. And they've actually been working very closely with Senator Duckworth, who's a senator from Illinois, on trying to put restrictions and get information. And there's been a couple of amendments that have been offered up to the National Defense Authorization Act to put a moratorium, a federal moratorium on the burning of AFFF that did not make it out of the Senate Armed Services, but there's still efforts to try to get the Senate and the House to put a moratorium on the burning of the material in the National Defense Authorization Act. So yeah, there's a lot of activity on this issue in both local communities and in the congressional arena.
And what can people be doing if, you know, they're not currently involved while the lawsuit is playing out?
Well, in New York, there's a bill sitting on Governor Cuomo's desk that was passed during a special session of your legislature in the middle of a pandemic unanimously to create a permanent moratorium for the burning of perfluorinated compounds, perfluorinated chemicals at Norlite. So I would urge anybody that lives in New York to be calling your governor and asking him to sign that bill.
We've been speaking with Jane Williams, head of the National Sierra Club Clean Air Team, and she will be a panelist at the upcoming Norlite Town Hall that is hosted by the Sanctuary for Independent Media. It's taking place on Thursday, July 23rd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. It's virtual on Zoom. You do need to pre-register. You can call in, though, if you don't use Zoom. And to register, just go to mediasanctuary.org or go to facebook.com/mediasanctuary. Jane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, have a great day.